From KMXT and Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, Bristol Bay sockeye may have been late, but they're finishing up in record territory. The Fish Board took action to protect Togiak fishermen, and buyers are struggling to keep up with the number of chum salmon flooding Norton Sound. And the deals behind the long-awaited peace treaty over MSC labeling. All that and more coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
And by
the Kodiak Area Native Association's Tobacco Prevention and Education Program. Cano believes everyone has the right to breathe smoke-free air. More information is available at 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
This year, fishermen who have registered in other districts will not be able to transfer to the later-run Togiak District until August 5th. The extension from the regulatory date of July 27th follows emergency action by Alaska Board of Fisheries last Friday. The run to all Bristol Bay districts has proven late this year, and the late timing has pushed up against a regulatory date, which typically protects the Togiak District from too much outside pressure. Last week, the fleet in Togiak asked the Board of Fish to push back until August 15th to give them more time to fish the small run exclusively. The matter was debated in an hour-long emergency meeting of the Board of Fish last Friday afternoon. While the board agreed unanimously that the matter constituted an emergency, board member Fritz Johnson of Dillingham, a Bristol Bay drift permit holder, took issue with the timing.
The petitioners here have requested an additional 20 days of exclusivity here from the 27th till the 15th of August, or 19 days if you don't count the Saturday of the 15th. It makes me wonder if the request is for, perhaps more protection than maybe merited here.
Johnson says he's taken a lot of phone calls from drift fishermen in the bay who do not support extending the transfer date out to August 15th. He offered August 5th as an amendment to the petitioner's request, which eventually passed the board with unanimous approval. Johnson says that timing lined up more with the lateness of other runs to the bay. The run to Togiak had struggled enough to require emergency closed periods, but started picking up steam. The Department of Fish and Game is hoping to let the fleet have more than just the weekly schedules worth of fishing to make up for some closures a week ago. Two board members were not present for last Friday's emergency meeting. John Jensen of Petersburg and Sue Jeffrey of Kodiak were both out fishing. All votes carried 5-0 in favor of the extended transfer time. And of course, the reason fishermen might have wanted to transfer is the red run is about done in the other districts in the bay. The season has turned out to be the fourth largest harvest of sockeye on record, with nearly 36 million reds landed and a total run now past 52 million. However, fishermen are heading home in disappointed droves with a base price of 40 to 50 cents per pound posted by several of the major buyers. The industry is hoping that the price ticks up as the marketing gurus figure out what to do with what became an unexpectedly large amount of fish to sell.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Chum salmon are flooding Norton Sound in northwest Alaska, and as KNOM's Emily Russell tells us, processors are struggling to keep up.
Western Alaska is in the midst of one of the best salmon runs in decades, and that means both subsistence and commercial fishermen in waters around Norton Sound and Kotzebue are catching record numbers of chum.
The Chum Salmon Run, we'd forecasted a commercial harvest of 70 to 100,000, and we're going to blow right through that.
Jim Menard, the Arctic Area Manager for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, says the latest numbers point to Norton Sound passing 120,000 chums, the best harvest since 1986. It's the sixth season in a row of strong chum runs, but the fishery hasn't always delivered. 2003 was an especially poor year, when the combined commercial harvest of all salmon species was the second lowest on record. Menard says relief came when the salmon bounced back the next year.
It was some sort of the strangest reaction was I actually got tears in my eyes, and I said, God, I'm getting emotional here. We've got fish, you know, like, and it was like, whoa, here we go. And that was the greatest pink salmon run ever to Norton Sound was 2004. And it was just crazy, the lineup fishing down at the Nome River and everyone catching pink salmon. And, you know, we were waving and just to really see a turnaround starting in 2004.
Despite the salmon surge that year, Fish and Game continued to limit subsistence fishing around Nome, with permits based on a household's historical dependence on chum. Menard says many fishermen, quote, ended up sitting on the beach, but those restrictions were lifted in 2006 as escapement continued to rise.
People want fish. People need fish. And it's definitely something we take very seriously is to subsistence comes first. It's escapement and subsistence, and they need their fish, and then we'll go commercial fishing after that.
The surge of salmon in the waters of western Alaska is also feeding Kotzebue's fishery. Last year's commercial chum harvest there was the second highest on record, and this year's harvest could be just as strong. But no matter how strong the runs are, Menard says both Kotzebue and Norton Sound are limited by buyer capacity.
The buyers, you know, they get plugged, and there's only so much they can do. Kotzebue, we've stopped fishing the last few days because the buyers swamped, and, you know, Bristol Bay's come on strong, Prince William Sound, and they fly those fish out of Kotzebue.
Following a brief closure last week, Kotzebue's sole buyer, Copper River Seafoods, placed a limit on how much they'll buy from each fisherman, urging fishermen to avoid catching more than they can sell. It's a similar story in Norton Sound, as its lone buyer, Norton Sound Seafood Products, can only process so much. Despite limitations, Menard is optimistic that the coming months will be good fishing, and not just for chums.
The fishing's going very well. For non-numbered pink year, it's looking very good. And the real pleasant surprise was how the sockeye salmon came in. We did not think it was going to be that strong. So now we're waiting on the silver salmon, and we think the silver salmon run is going to be pretty decent this year.
While the fishing has been strong so far, just how strong won't be known until the silver run kicks into full swing.
That was KNOM's Emily Russell reporting from Nome. Four Homer area residents, including the city's deputy harbor master, are being charged with criminal trespass and theft for stealing oysters from a commercial farm on the south side of Kachemak Bay on July 4th. KBBI's Shady Grove Oliver tells us more.
Oyster theft is unfortunately not an uncommon crime around Kachemak Bay, an area with more than a dozen mariculture sites dotting its coastline. On July 13th, Alaska State Troopers received a call from an oyster grower in Jackaloff Cove.
The oyster farm had essentially pulled up a batch of its oysters and realized that there weren't nearly as many as there should have been.
Megan Peters is a spokesperson for the troopers.
And after they did that, they went back and they reviewed their security footage because they do have security cameras around their operation, and they noticed that on July 4th, there was a group of four adults that were on the docks that did not have any kind of permission to be there. Essentially, those individuals stole oysters from their oyster farm.
Through images from the security tape, they were able to identify three of the four people as Homer Deputy Harbor Master Matt Clark, his wife Rebecca, and local resident Christine Kulcheski.
And we made contact with the three people that they had identified. Those people did cooperate with us. Through our efforts, we were able to identify the fourth person that was involved, and charges are also being pursued against that individual.
The name of the fourth person has not been released yet. The two Clarks and Kulcheski are being charged with fourth-degree theft and first-degree criminal trespass. The number of oysters and their monetary value have not been disclosed yet. Deputy Harbormaster Clark was contacted but did not wish to provide comment at this time. In Homer, I'm Shady Grove Oliver.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is supported in part by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
As we mentioned last week, the Alaska salmon processors at odds over who can use the Marine Stewardship Council's blue sustainability stamp of approval have finally reached an agreement. This week, KDLG's Molly Dishner fills us in on the details of the deal.
PSPA President Glenn Reed says he thinks most of the processors who dropped MSC in 2012 and sought to rejoin this year will be part of the new group.
We're anticipating that it's going to be most of those that have expressed interest over the last month, and if so, it would be somewhere in the neighborhood, I think, of about 30 different companies.
The list of processors that originally wanted to rejoin the MSC this spring includes Trident, Ocean Beauty, Icicle, Peter Pan, and a handful of others. ASPA members who maintained the certificate when the others left are also expected to be part of the new group. They're led by Silver Bay Seafoods, and Copper River is also a member. Adding MSC's blue label to salmon packaging doesn't come cheap for the processors who wish to do so. Reed says he doesn't know yet how PSPA will divvy up the cost.
Our goal is to have an equal cost-sharing basis, either equal in some sort of unit of measure. I think in the past, if you go back far enough, they had somewhere between maybe two or three categories of if you process this many pounds, you were at this level, or a range of tonnage, you were at a different level. I think that there's also some consideration of just doing it by weight. There may be other considerations, but the cost-sharing basis will be equal for all members that choose to join.
ASPA Executive Director Rob Zwanek says his group is not asking PSPA to reimburse it for prior costs associated with the certificate, but that the new group will be responsible for any costs going forward.
No cost. The new client group will not be responsible for maintaining the annual surveillance audits on the current certificate, and hopefully 2018 will continue the certificate.
Zwanek says ASPA agreed to transfer the certificate so that the processing industry could move beyond what had become a divisive issue.
I think with the announcement by PSPA to start a new group and a new assessment, we thought it was just in the best interest of the industry to consolidate activities and put this matter behind us.
The current certificate applies to most, but not all, of Alaska's salmon fisheries. Prince William Sound is excluded. Reed says that'll stand for now, but could change in the future.
The decision whether or not to try and reopen the discussion on Prince William Sound may be something that is available to us now. It may be something that we'll have to wait till this certificate runs its course. Those are some discussions we need to have and will be at least partially driven by the rules under which this certificate has been written.
Alaska Governor Bill Walker intervened earlier this summer, saying the gridlock was threatening the profitability of Alaska salmon during an abundant year. At one point, the two groups attempted arbitration to resolve the issue. In Dillingham, I'm Molly Dishner.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960, or online at alaskaboat.com.
And by Commercial Fishermen for Bristol Bay, permit holders and fishing groups standing together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KDLG's Dave Benninger and Molly Dishner in Dillingham, KBBI's Shady Grove Oliver in Homer, and KNOM's Emily Russell in Nome. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.